Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, unlike last Wednesday, we're getting right to it. It is a Wayback Wednesday.
What happened last Wednesday that we screwed it up?
We didn't have anybody here. 586-7610 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. You request the music. We play it. Nathan Williams is here to take your requests.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, first I'm hearing about last Wednesday.
Oh, that yeah, nobody
that
showed
wasn't
up.
Mine,
no,
was it?
No, it was
we don't,
not.
We still don't know who it was.
We still don't know what happened.
We don't think it was
yeah.
anyone.
Yeah, we don't really yes. know if anybody was scheduled that day.
Well,
but
thanks for the freak out right at the start of the show there. Yeah, Detroit Derek wanted to hear some new kids on the block.
I'm sure he had last week's first request in as well. We just, you know, didn't know what to do with it. No. Last week,
nobody showed up.
The best part was Bob and I were just working, and like 5:55, Bob goes, "You think anybody's coming in today?"
Nope.
Like, huh?
Probably not.
Room's dark. Like, doesn't appear so.
Yeah, nobody's there. Nobody showed up. Yeah, that's ended up somebody. I don't know if somebody read the schedule wrong. I don't know how it ended.
No.
We're on the schedule.
How
did we get on
no
the
breaks?
Air? We just got Zant to just turn on the microphones and we just talked till somebody came in and Kramer popped his head in, you know, because he heard us, you know, as he was driving. And good morning, Kramer, to you, as he's getting ready to, you know, come to work. And so he came in and
he
got us
the
into
gas
a commercial
just a,
break.
Just a little bit there for a second,
yeah.
didn't he? Today he's like,
he did.
Mm, make sure I'm
there on time. Yeah. So he came in and then we pretty much did uninterrupted for about an hour. The listeners were loving it. That was fantastic.
Yeah,
no
I think we ended up doing like 45 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Commercial free at one point during like the 7 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. Or something.
Commercial free for the FM means you can go to the bathroom. Commercial free for us means we're here.
Till someone arrived.
Yeah, so somebody finally did. I think it was.
I roused the JT from us. Serious slumber.
Yeah, Josh is good with that kind of stuff. So he woke him up, and then JT came in, and I think Spectre finally responded around 11. So, you know, which is perfect management, right?
We kind of did requests last Wednesday, but kind of screwed it up. So today, a full scale.
Yeah.
You picked the music.
I saw Detroit Derek was doing a little bit of a staycation in downtown Kansas City, touring Union Station and riding the streetcar yesterday.
Nice.
So step by step, maybe to get that streetcar finished, maybe to get the ballpark built downtown. I don't know what that's in relation to, or maybe it's his Detroit Lions getting ready step by step to get ready for the draft next week.
Just
who knows?
Wanted to hear the song.
How about Klay Thompson last night? Has he hit a shot yet? Does anybody know Klay has hit a shot yet?
No.
I like the playing game. Not going to lie. I thought it was kind of fun.
I think the playing tournament is really cool.
Very good.
It
very
brings
good.
A little drama.
Yep, it does.
A lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the 7 seed is so good
mm-hmm.
that they're supposed to tank their game against the 8 seed.
Right.
In order to then beat the
nine or ten seed, so they could play the 8 seed to get in. Yeah, right.
So they can play the 2
or the 2. Yes,
or play the 1
play
and
the
not
one.
The 2.
Right. Yeah, it's confusing when you go like that. Right.
Or you can just go win basketball games. You know, I love the Lakers should have done
should have
this.
Lost. No, you never should lose a game in professional sports.
You have LeBron.
Right.
You think he's going to sign up for that?
No, he ain't going out there tanking. Not a chance.
And 2, you're the 7th seed.
Right.
You've had some things that have been outside of your control for quite some time in a season to be the 7th seed.
That's exactly right.
So suddenly you're supposed to control all of it.
I think they lost
2 days.
I think they lost like 11 games after they won that midseason tournament, and then they finally rebounded in one of like 11 of 13. We're talking about the Lakers, that is. Yeah, I hate the whole they should lose type of stuff, because you know
they're
what happens?
They're the seven.
They're the seven,
they don't
right.
control the world.
No, not at all.
And you could very well lose both games and not be in the playoffs.
Right, and that's the point right there, right?
Or, oh man, they screwed up because now they're going to get the Nuggets and they should have got Oklahoma City, because they right. could have beat Oklahoma City. Oh, so they could just, the seven could just beat the one.
But not the two.
But the two, forget about it.
Yeah.
Two's pretty good.
Yeah, well, they are pretty good.
But yeah. it's as if it's the Lakers. That's why it's so compelling. But
right.
Is that the Lakers could write their own script on this one,
mm-hmm.
and they wrote it wrong.
They did, yes. Oh. So, oh, they won, but they should have lost, and so they could have played another game, risk injury, risk losing again, and risk not making it into the
Correct.
Playoffs. Okay, I'm
Correct.
Just making sure we're on the same page Correct. Here. It's why I've never understood the whole tanking thing, too. You know, when we did the suck for luck and all that kind of stuff years and years ago, something I don't think you and I were ever really on board with, because you don't know when you're going to get these opportunities back. And also, too, you're dealing with professionals who really are year to year, week to week, month to month with a lot of their teams in professional sports. Unless you're a baseball player and sign a 10-year deal, then you're good to go. But you know, a lot of these guys may not be back to Los Angeles or whatever team that they're on at the end of the season, right? They move on, they blow teams up all the time, you know, in pro sports. And so the whole tanking thing, like sucking for luck, I mean, how did that work out for Indianapolis at the end of the day? Was that really the best option for them? Probably not. So you never want to lose a game when you have an opportunity to win in advance, because you can't predict what's going to happen after that. People never factor that in. Like the consequences, as we always talk about for things, you lose that game. Say you're the Lakers and you lose that game. Okay, great. Now you got to play another game for the opportunity to go into the playoffs. You could lose that game. LeBron could blow
over.
A tire. You know, who knows what happens? Yeah. And again, you're going to be playing a team that's not going to roll over. You think the Sacramento Kings are just going to lay down now because the Lakers are going to play them for the opportunity to get in the play? No, they're not going to do that at all. And so
how do you get your way into the playoffs?
You win
the main draw for sure. You win that game.
You win that game. And it's one less game that you have to play as well. One less wear and tear in your body.
This is why it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much surrounding.
There is
the 7 and 8 seed.
Yep.
Game.
It's great.
And then the 9 and 10 had basically what appears to be the end of the Warriors run.
Yeah, it's sad to see, right? Would you rather see the run end like that, or everybody just retire on top?
None of them are retiring, though.
Well, Clay probably ought to take it some time off and reconsider.
No, he's gonna go be a sharpshooter for somebody else.
Yeah, but they're breaking that thing up, right?
Or bring him back. Oh, they all say they want him back yesterday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But that's what made this thing fun.
Mm-hmm.
You had drama in the first round, essentially the first round of the tournament that you ordinarily wouldn't get from just a series.
Exactly.
And then they play their way into a series. I think it's really, really fun.
Yeah, I do too.
East doesn't have as much, you know, chatter as the West did.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the concept of it all. It's a unique way to get into the playoffs. It's like a super wild card or something.
Yeah, right. So exactly. No, I think it's fun. I think baseball should probably look into that as well and figure out if there's a way that they can get, you know, something like that for baseball, because I think we'd all love to see that at the end of the season, giving somebody the opportunity to have the chance to play their way in. And it is, it's single elimination. And I think
so
the one
like
thing.
An extra wild card? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But I think it's also, too, though, the single elimination stuff that I think we like as American sports fans, right? Like tonight, Miami, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Chicago. The Atlanta-Chicago one doesn't really ring a lot of bells for a lot of people, but I think Miami-Philadelphia is going to be a pretty good matchup, right?
Now that Kentucky's hired a basketball coach, that game doesn't matter quite as much, does
it? Not as much, yeah. Unless they're going to part ways with Billy Donovan at the end of the year, but I'm sure if they were going to part ways with him, Billy Donovan probably would have taken that Kentucky job and would have left, you know, right now in the postseason. But I mean the Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks, I don't think is a huge marquee type of game. But
Jordan,
I think Miami,
Dominique,
Philadelphia, if it was Jordan against Dominique, it would be hell yeah, back in the heyday of things. But again, I think Americans love the one game playoff. I think that's why the NFL playoffs are so successful.
I don't know. Kevin Willis taking on Bill Wennington.
Bill Wennington. That's a good one right there. Know. What about Spud Webb? Remember him back in the day? Yeah, Spud Webb versus Scottie Pippen, or you know, whoever the case may be.
B.J. Armstrong was little. They could.
Yeah,
B.J.
was a little guy. Yeah, he was. So anyway, but I love it. I think it's fun. It creates, you know, it creates storylines. It creates talking points for everybody. You can be as a fan and buy in and watch all that stuff.
Fun. But it's just fun, which is what you need.
What you need in sports, because you know the 7-game series are good, but how many people are tuning in for game one? Like if you miss game one of a 7-game series, catch it later on, right? But game seven comes, it's an elimination game. Everybody's around the TV, regardless of what sport it is. And you look at the NFL postseason and what they were able to do this year, the highest rated NFL postseason of all time. And obviously that had a lot to do with the Chiefs and Taylor Swift and all that kind of stuff being factored in. But people love the one game elimination. They love the win and go home type mentality of stuff. And so the more you can create that, I think, in sports going forward, I think the better it's going to be for the fan. And I think the better, quite frankly, Josh, it's going to be for the league, because people want to watch those type of games. It's one of the biggest reasons why we love the NCAA tournament the way that it is, because it's single elimination. It's win or go home. You're playing for your lives at this point in time. And so the NBA has kind of encapsulated the bracket with the one game elimination, but also keeping their 7-game series. That's fun. Yeah.
Wednesday show brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. They didn't mess around in Chicago last night. They bagged that game early, didn't
Real
they?
Fast. It's, yeah. Which is good.
We'll see you tomorrow. We'll try a doubleheader.
Yeah. I think that's the way you got to do it, though.
110 today here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern gets you started today at noon. Also, I think they bailed early enough so that Vern didn't go on the air.
Yeah, right. Gave Vern the day off.
Which is always great, because the last thing you want to have happens,
you waste a pregame show.
Yeah. And then they bag it later. It's like, well, why didn't you just decide earlier? It's been raining all day.
Why don't you just tell me this?
Yeah, the tarp on the field. So surprisingly enough, they're just going to play two today, as opposed to, oh, we'll just wait till July. The next time the White Sox host the Royals is in late July, because it would have been really natural. They were already in Chicago, or they were against Chicago, the Cubs,
right
here, and then going to Chicago to face the White Sox. You just get it. I mean, it's just quick. It's a quick jaunt over there. Could have played two in July.
Would you rather play two in April or two in July?
Well,
let's be honest.
I'd want to play them now.
Yeah, get them over with. Right.
So that was cool. I was kind of surprised they moved that thing pretty quickly last night.
Yeah, because you could get to July and the White Sox may be cooked. Never mind.
They're already cooked. Yeah, they're already cooked. Yeah. Would they be cooked more?
I don't know. Who's going to be playing for the White Sox in July?
Right, you have them scouted now. You won't have them scouted then?
Yeah, you just take care of business today. Go up there, win that doubleheader, come back to Kansas City for the day off tomorrow, and then welcome Baltimore in. You know?
So the source wasn't great?
Apparently not. I guess Salvi's source was bad because he wasn't playing yesterday.
Salvi's source.
Yes. Was not correct.
Was not okay yesterday.
Right.
Huh.
That's why I said you got to be careful with these sources out there. You just can't rely on anybody telling you that they're going to come back. If the source was Q, who will join us at 9, okay, that's one thing. But if Salvi's saying he wants to come back, this was one of those, I think, we're going to save you from yourself. And maybe he's back in the lineup today. I don't know if that's possible with the doubleheader to play both games of that doubleheader behind the plate. So maybe he gets one of those games. He said he was ready to go in as a late inning replacement or pinch hit or that kind of stuff yesterday. But I do appreciate that the Royals right now are kind of holding him out and going, you know what, we're not going to rush this thing back. There's no reason. We got a little bit of a pad. We're the second wild card team right now. We're a game out of first place. We got, you know, second most wins in all of Major League Baseball. We're playing the White Sox. What the hell does it matter? We could start Josh and Bob and have an opportunity to win that game. So let's just hold Salvi out for one more game just to make sure. And I think that's the right thing to do. It's not a pressure time of year. If this is September and you're battling for a playoff spot, maybe Salvi goes in there and plays yesterday. But I think the more rest you can give him and the fresher he can be as the season goes along, look, the better it's going to be for everybody. You want Salvi at his best, you know, for a playoff push in August and September this year.
And former Royals manager Whitey Herzog passed away yesterday at the age of 92.
Yeah.
Highest win percentage in Royals history.
Mm-hmm.
Three straight playoff appearances.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had the Kansas City-St. Louis tie-in, which made it juicy.
Right. And he's from the state of Missouri.
You always thought I was always conflicted with Whitey Herzog.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, well, which side are you here in this one? Cause had probably more success in St. Louis.
Yeah.
But had a lot of the records in Kansas City.
I mean, you look at what Whitey Herzog did, and I ended up in a Whitey Herzog rabbit hole yesterday because you kind of forget his...
And his name is Whitey.
And his name is Whitey. Doral, I think, is his real name, too. But you think about, you know, Whitey Herzog, and immediately you think of Whitey Ball, and you think of the 82 Cardinals and Vince Coleman and Willie McGee and Andy Van Slyke and those type of guys, right? But you forget how good and successful he was here in Kansas City. He coached part of the 75 season. They fired somebody. I don't know. He took over midway through 75. And then was here 76, 77, 78, and then left after the 79 season. Those were three of the biggest years of Royals history right there, right? And so he was the manager for three of the biggest and most important seasons in Royals history. And I started doing that deep dive, three straight playoff appearances for him. I don't know that any other manager did that in Royals history. Highest winning percentage in Royals history at 574. And you start going down the list of like winning percentages, I mean, Josh, it's a long ways away from anybody that's even close to Whitey. I mean, you know, Dick Houser was up there a little bit over 500, but I mean, since Whitey Herzog, Whitey's the winningest manager, and nobody's even come close since Whitey Herzog left after the 79
Net
season.
Has more wins,
but not winning percentage. He's an under 500 manager. Yeah. But also, too, speaking of Ned, you look at his numbers. Ned has 22 postseason wins for the Royals. That's more than every other manager combined in Royals history. Let that one marinate for a second,
right?
It's unbelievable. And so, Q, if this is the beginning of something really good, Q, if he stays long enough, could have the shot to be the winningest manager in Royals history if this is the jumping off point of being a consistent winner. Now, he does have to recover from 106 losses at the beginning of his career, but if this is the beginning of what we expect to be sustained success,
bit Ned.
It did bite Ned. Yeah, but both at the beginning and end.
Leaving early might have benefited him in the wins perspective.
Right.
But yeah, the history of managers here, not that great.
Not great at all. So Whitey goes down as arguably he's the best winning percentage, but arguably the best manager. You can put him up there with Ned, you can put him up there with Dick Houser, and you can put him up there with himself.
Placing the right pitchers in 85.
That's right. Exactly. Did a great job managing those 85 St. Louis Cardinals. Way to go, Whitey.
Work for us. Patrick Mahomes wants to play baseball and gives a retirement window.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You request the music on a way back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. Please include your name so that it may be read over the airwaves.
Yeah, a little long, cool woman in a black dress for Teresa and Shawnee.
All right, way to go, Teresa. Yeah. Little Allman Brothers, huh? How about that?
I think it's just one of them when he went solo.
Oh, the Allman?
The Almond.
Yeah.
Along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. Nathan Williams producing today. Patrick Mahomes on the cover of Time magazine this week. still printing.
Yep.
Just for those of you scoring at home.
Grab that at the airport.
Yeah, it's true.
Where else do you grab magazines now besides the airport, right?
I mean, do they still, like, could you still do like a CVS, Walgreens kind
maybe,
of thing?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Your grocer's freezer?
The grocers don't have a lot of those anymore
either.
They
really
don't, no.
It's been replaced by candy.
And so, yeah, I don't know. The airport, yeah, sounds right.
The
sounds
airport,
right.
You know, you can grab something to read.
So he's listed as one of the most influential people in America.
Mm-hmm.
I read the article, still don't know why they considered that, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a quarterback for the Chiefs.
It was a nice article, but I was just waiting for the part where they considered him influential. They listed his sponsorships and stuff. I guess that's influential.
It is.
To a certain extent. I don't know. They didn't really outline that, but really, it didn't really matter.
But who else was on this list? Because it says the 100 most influential people in America. I know of one on that list. Like, who are the other 99 people that were mentioned? Dua Lipa, you said yesterday, was on the list. Yep. But other than that,
do we know
anybody else that's on this list?
No one's hit the mark.
Anybody else in professional sports make that list? Do we know that Aaron Rodgers make that list? Did we get LeBron that list? God, Aaron Rodgers. Russell Westbrook, is he on? A-Rod? No. Anybody? Like, who's on the list?
It's like
the 100 most influential people. Are they going to release it 1 week at a time for the next 100 weeks?
Smart, right?
It would be, yeah.
It's like the NFL 100.
Exactly. One at a time.
You don't give them 100 list right away.
No.
You just give it one at a time. So anyway, Patrick Mahomes is the cover person for this magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Two things really stood out.
Okay.
One, he'd like to play for the Royals in spring training.
Right. Which I think is obviously you can do that. I mean, Russell Wilson has done that in years past for the Yankees and for the Texas Rangers and whatnot.
I'm going to ask a question I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
Because the fear is, oh, man, he could get hurt.
Right.
Well, could he get hurt at Pat Camp?
Of course he could. He could get hurt anywhere. You can't live your life that, oh, my God, he's going to get hurt.
Is it just that would be a more public way to get hurt, and so that would be worse?
Oh, yeah. I mean, could you imagine if he squares around in, like, early bunting work or something and takes one off the face? You know, like, he fouls a bunt off.
Oblique.
You strain an oblique in baseball. Forget about it. They're going to shut you down, right? But he plays football, so he'll just be back out there the next day. But yeah, but I think that's ultimately what it is. Oh my God, he's going to get hurt. Oh my God,
he's going to
get hurt.
He could get hurt at Pet Camp, couldn't he?
He could get hurt in football practice.
Or one of his workouts with Bobby or whatever.
Right, exactly. You're twisting, you're turning, you're flipping.
I guess I'm just not worried about it. If he wants to do it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be fun. I think he's obviously he's part of the ownership group.
Sure he is.
He's an athlete, it'd be fun to watch.
It'd be fantastic.
Let him do it.
Right.
I'm not asking him to play, you know, he's play like a game or two. It's not even a big deal.
He doesn't even have to play a game. Just go in there and take a few swings, take a few ground balls. He would want to play a game,
which is fine.
Could you see Patrick Mahomes playing center field and just like running through the wall?
You're not saying go play, you know, a month.
Right.
It's just, anyway, I don't find that to be that big a deal.
And how long is he going to be down there? You know, because spring training starts the day after they win the Super Bowl every year, right? So you get down there mid-February at the earliest by the time you do Disney World and all that kind of stuff, the parade, here we sit, and okay, we're a week into the spring training. Pitchers and catchers have already reported, blah, blah, blah. So you're talking about maybe late February, early March by the time he gets down there. Maybe he gets a couple of days in. And by that time of spring training, Josh, that's when it gets serious. They're really getting a look-see at who could be that seventh inning guy. So the chances of Patrick Mahomes coming down there and playing, you know, Mickey Mouse games or whatever, they may not want something like that at that point in time because it's too late into spring training and they're trying to get their work done.
Okay. Feels like you got it worked out.
Right.
Not a huge deal, right?
No, not at all.
Then also, there could be a retirement date.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this, right?
Right.
But basically, Patrick's done the math. And he's like, if I play as long as Brady, subtract the three, add the one, whatever. His oldest would be like 19 or 20.
Right. Could you believe that?
Like, well, she might have a lot of stuff going on that I want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I won't be playing football till I'm Brady's age.
Right.
So
it'll be interesting to see because, you know, that kind of hit home for me is like, you know, being a dad and whatnot, your kids start to get involved. What is it about the age of five, maybe a little bit earlier than that, they start to get involved with all that kind of stuff. And you don't want to miss anything as a parent. At least that's the way I feel. You know, like you want to be at every single event. You want to be there for them. It's such a limited window. So I could see where Patrick Mahomes is probably having a little bit of that push-pull with, yeah, I really want to play football and I'm really good at football. But you know what? I want to be a really good dad too. I want to make sure I'm there for my kids. And so do they win 7 Super Bowls in the next 8 years or whatever it is? And then his daughter gets to the age where she's involved in youth sports, and his son gets to that point too, where he doesn't want to miss. He goes, I got 8 rings, man. I'm already the GOAT. I got nothing else to prove in football. Well, I'm going to go watch my kids, right? That's best case scenario.
He works
scenario.
Out a Kirk Cousins-like contract, and he gets whatever day of the week off he wants.
That's exactly right. But is that going to be enough to fulfill that itch that he may have wanting to be there, you know, for all his kids? You know how it is to be a parent. You got something every single night. And if you get to the point
But also, working parents also do that.
Oh, I know. Oh, believe me, I know. Yeah,
so it's not
do.
Like it's insurmountable. Yeah. Oh, I have to crash everything. In order to, not true.
Right.
Now, do you?
Most of the stuff does happen at night. You get out of work and you go do their thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or certainly in a position of power, which he would be in by that point in time, he could have more say than, you know, you or I could.
Yeah. He starts talking to Matt Nagy about how to schedule practices, right. You know, about around the kids' games.
We're
hey,
done
I
by
gotta,
three.
Right.
We're good.
Yeah. I got a 3:30 track meet at the elementary school I need to get to today. Yeah.
We'll work it out then.
We'll figure it out. But
it'll
you know what? They all do a pretty good job.
I thought it was pretty cool because you could almost. Reading the article, you could almost hear the math done in his head.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
He played till he was, 45 years old?
Right.
I'm 45, then my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't doing that.
Yeah, 19 or 20, no.
Oh, never mind. Better, but good. That means he racks up more titles now.
Right.
He's hungrier to get it done.
Yeah. I think, you know, reading between the lines, maybe Patrick Mahomes is on a little bit of a time frame where he is doing the math where he's like, all right, I've got 3.
If he gets 8 by 30,
four more. Let's go bounce. If I get to 8,
we're good.
Yeah, here's what we're going to look at, guys. I got 5 more years. I'll win 5 more titles. I'll have the most championships of all time. Andy and I will
Everybody
walk
good?
Off into the sunset together.
Everybody good?
Andy can go manage the Royals. I'll go play for the Royals because Andy said, if Patrick goes plays for the Royals, he wants to bring him along as manager. Mm. Years past, I would have said, fine, let's do that. But I kind of like where we are right now with Q. I don't want to upset the apple cart there at all.
Oh, I mean, assistant manager.
Andy Reid?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
We could figure something out. We could figure out a title.
Mm-hmm.
We could figure out a title. So, good article. Revealed a couple of things we didn't know. And we got a window.
The thing for me that stood out too was he wants to do Saturday Night Live, but he's freaked out about the teleprompters because he had a bad situation at the ESPY Awards where I guess it didn't work right or whatever. And so he's like, he's freaked out about that. So he's worried about the cue cards and all that kind of stuff. That's a vulnerability, right? That you look at Patrick Mahomes and you're like, does this guy have anything that he's vulnerable about? Yeah, reading the cue cards, right? That seems so like elementary for you and I because it's kind of what we do for a living. And he's out there playing quarterback, getting hit, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, putting his body on the line. That doesn't bother him at all. That doesn't faze him at all, playing in front of 78,000 fans down, you know, by a field goal with 13 seconds to go. That Saturday Night Live is what gets Patrick Mahomes, right?
Sure, Kelsey can talk him through that, too.
Yeah.
Feels pretty, so he'll probably be on next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like he's got an open invite whenever he wants to do it.
Isn't Lorne Michaels a big Chiefs fan too, right? I think he is, who created Saturday Night Live, because I remember years ago Lorne Michaels being in the Chiefs locker room after a game when Dick Vermeil was the head coach. I'm like, oh my God, that's Lorne Michaels. What the hell's he doing here? And they said like his son was a Chiefs fan, and so Lorne Michaels became a Chiefs fan,
okay,
and so
sure.
That's why probably not? Why that tie-in is there. I'd love to see Andy Reid on Saturday Night Live. I think that'd be fun.
Or at least a cameo.
Yeah, exactly. Not hosting or anything
well,
like
I mean,
that.
Hosting would be awesome.
I think Dave Tobe would be a good host.
Andy hosting and then bringing in everybody would be pretty great. A team doing that would be a lot of fun. They're legit. Come on now. They're legit. Let's live with it. Next.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. I begged and pleaded with her day after day, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said, I might as well kick it. First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel Air living like? This
this might be all right.
It's weird when actors decide to sing. 913-586-7610. You request the music on a Way Back Wednesday. Please include your name.
This one was for Adam and Olathe, little Fresh Prince.
I feel like we get this one every week texted into us, right? Do you guys feel that way, or is it just my perception being wrong?
I don't know. It's in a lot.
Yeah. Right? It is. Yeah.
It is common.
Yeah.
Tim Kirchen joined us on the show of ESPN, and we joked that we didn't call a lot of national baseball people for like several years.
A very long time.
Because there's no need.
Right.
They weren't paying attention to us. But now they're paying attention to us.
We weren't even paying attention to us.
Probably true, you know? They're like, well, why don't you tell me? Well, I can't tell you. Why don't you tell me? So, you know, now they're paying attention. We've gotten the baseball world's attention.
The Royals are right in the middle of this now. This is, we all know, a weak division, a winnable division. But you look at everyone else around them, why can't they stay in this a long time, especially with the start they're off to? I mean, they've outscored their opponents by 39 runs already. And their ERA, as you guys know, is 2.86. It's the third best in Major League Baseball. The Royals have three shutouts already. They had six shutouts all last season. So the improvement is enormous. It's obvious. And I think it's already time to start taking the Royals seriously as a contender in this division. And I'm not sure a whole lot of people saw that coming even 3 weeks ago.
The only part I don't like is, okay, we're all aware the division's not great.
Right.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
I don't care either. If they win
the division, I ain't going to put a little asterisk by it and go, but it was a crappy division.
Well, they had to play the White Sox.
This thing.
Right. No, you got to take.
Flying that flag.
Look, Josh, this is where you miss the 18 games against the White Sox now, right? If this division is so bad, or the 18 games that you could potentially face against the Guardians or the Twins or, you know, some of these other teams that we haven't liked playing, that's where you were able to benefit from. But now with the, you know, the blended schedule that we have in baseball where everybody plays everybody, which I love, you don't get that benefit. So you can't even say, well, they benefited from a weak division this year, because nobody really benefits from any division this year. Whether it's a strong division or weak division, you don't have that divide anymore like you used to in Major League Baseball, where the Yankees and Red Sox would play each other 18 times and ESPN would televise them all. Now you don't have that opportunity for the Royals and White Sox to play each other 18 times because of the way that the Major League Baseball is now. I guess you could call it a balanced schedule more than it's ever been, you know, in the past. You do play your division teams, I think, twice at home and twice on the road, so you get a little bit more with your division teams, but nothing that I think is truly going to make that big a difference where it's going to be this glaring, oh my God, they won a really bad division because they beat up on, you know, the likes of the White Sox for 18 games. So I think that kind of gets thrown out the window right now. You still got to beat the good teams in baseball. You still have to play the Braves. You're still going to have to play the Dodgers. You're still going to have to play the Yankees. You're going to have to play every team in baseball. And so for an opportunity to win the division, you're really going to earn it now, I think anyway, in baseball, because you have to sustain success. You just can't beat up on a couple of bad teams and catapult yourself into the division. I think it's much harder to win the division now in baseball than it's ever been before. And so if the Royals win it now, hey, they really will have accomplished something. And I think they can go out there and win this division. I mean, knock on wood, we haven't had the Shane Bieber type of injury yet. We're, oh my God, what are we going to do? Who's going to backfill? You lose one of your great players for an extended period of time. Teams are already losing guys on their rosters for an extended period of time. The Atlanta Braves are a MASH unit right now. The White Sox, I mean, God love them, they're a MASH unit right now. They've got everybody banged up. And the Royals so far through 3 weeks, I know it's only been 3 weeks, but they've stayed out of the MASH unit. They've maintained themselves healthy. And I think that's a big part of, obviously, 162 games. How do you maintain your health over those 162? And so far, the Royals are actually ahead of the curve of everybody else on this one.
Keep it quiet.
Nah, I don't buy the jinx.
Keep it quiet. And then, you know, Salvi's going to be back today, presumably.
Well, so said that?
We'll see.
Did Salvi tell you that? Because he didn't know.
Salvi was wrong yesterday, wasn't he? So we're not sure.
Right.
Speaking of Salvi, we did ask Tim Kirchen about Salvador Perez. We feel like here he's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say, and we were having this conversation behind the scenes yesterday, he's the second greatest Royal of all time, right? I don't think there's any argument anymore that he's the second greatest Royal of all time. I think Salvador Perez is a lock for the Hall of Fame. Now, I don't have a Hall of Fame vote. You don't have a Hall of Fame vote. You don't have a Hall of Fame vote, do you, Nathan?
That's correct.
Maybe you're being a lawyer, they gave you one. I don't know. So none of us have the Hall of Fame vote. So it doesn't matter what we think. Tim Kirkchen does have a Hall of Fame vote.
Salvador Perez continues to do his thing. We believe he's a very fast healer. He says he's back today after what looked like a scare the other day. We think he's a Hall of Famer here. Is he a Hall of Famer?
He's got a ways to go. He does have 250 home runs. He is one of the premier defensive catchers. He's been an everyday catcher on a championship team. I'm not ready to say he's a Hall of Famer now, but I said on our podcast the other day with my son that this is a future Hall of Famer. I believe that. I think he needs to do a little bit more, but given that he's not aging very, he's aging so well right now, there's no reason to think he's not going to keep hitting and keep catching really, really well. So I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day, but I'm just not sure he could retire today and ease his way in.
Kind of surprised at that myself.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's got a ways to go. And I'm thinking, what? We don't think he's getting necessarily any younger.
Right.
Not necessarily thinking he's getting better. You feel like this is kind of towards the tail end of his career. Once you got to get to 300?
I'm going to throw something at you real fast.
Like, I feel like that may be asking a lot then for whatever criteria some need for him to get in, that he's going to need some team success and then probably hit some more home runs before he's a lock. Kind of surprised to me.
Let me throw these two things at you right now. Just both of you guys weigh in. Do you guys think Jorge Posada is a Hall of Famer?
Yeah,
I do too, right? Jorge Posada, 261 career home runs for Jorge Posada. Now, obviously, he was a Yankee, championship team, four or five rings, whatever it was, when it was all said and done with New York. So he's going to get that bump because he was on some good teams, right? Mm-hmm. Salvador Perez has 250 home runs, as we mentioned. There are only 10 catchers in the history of baseball that have more home runs than Salvador Perez.
Are they all in the Hall of Fame?
Well, Mike Piazza, Carlton Fisk, Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
Yogi Berra,
yeah.
Lance Parrish, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Don't think so, no.
Pudge, Gary Carter,
yeah.
Brian McCann, Jorge Posada, Javi Lopez, and then Salvador Perez.
Wow.
So most of those guys that have more home runs than Salvador Perez at the catcher position are in the Hall of Fame. Lance Parrish is an interesting one. He had 324 home runs over the course of his career in 1,000 RBIs. Salvador Perez has 250 home runs and 827 RBIs. I think based on just pure math alone.
Got to get past him?
I don't think you necessarily have to get past Lance Parrish to go, because Ivan Rodriguez isn't past Lance Parrish at all. Yeah. Gary Carter isn't. Jorge Posada is not. Javi Lopez, I think, is a Hall of Fame catcher. He was an unbelievable catcher. He dominated for years, right? But I think for Salvador Perez, if he gets that 300 home run mark, that would put him, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, eighth all time in catchers if he just stops at 300. And if you do the math, he's only 50 home runs away, right? If he has just a 25 home run season this year and a 25 home run season next year, we're talking at the end of 25, he's got his 300 home runs, or really close to those 300 home runs. If he gets to those 300 home runs, I'm sure he'll find a way over 827 RBIs. I'm sure he'll get to that. If he puts 70 RBIs up for the next, 2 or 3 years, that's going to get you really close to 1,000 RBIs as well. And so I think if Salvador Perez has two really good, solid years for the next 2 years, he will be in the Hall of Fame because he does have a ring as well. And I think that's important, especially winning a ring here in Kansas City, being the captain of the Royals. So I think he does have some statistical work to do yet to get into that same type of category. But you look at Roy Campanella, he's behind Salvador Perez, 242 home runs. He's in the Hall of Fame right now, right? There's some other guys. Jason Varitek, I think a lot of people consider borderline Hall of Famer, 193 home runs right now. Your guy, A.J. Pierzynski, 188 home runs. Like, Salvador Perez's number numbers are up there, bro. Like, really good. He just has a little bit more work to do. And if he puts together two really good seasons in the next 2 years, I don't think they're – and the Royals win and make the playoffs again. Yeah, and he saw two generations,
he could really,
right?
We could really use a national stage appearance with some bright lights
to
do that.
Right. So the winning is going to help Salvi get into the Hall of Fame. But I do think he's the second greatest Royal of all time.
You can check out the full interview with Tim Kirchen, 610sports.com, or the Odyssey app. The College Football Super League looks kind of fun, but maybe not for Mizzou. We'll get to that next. Love, man. Peace and love. Brought to you by Renner Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RaynerKC.com. You pick the music on the way back Wednesday. Include your name at 913-586-7610.
Kevin in Lathrop was feeling a little Monday on a Wednesday.
Wow. How about that, Kevin? Hope your week is better. This is hump day. It's much better than Monday. In fact, I like Mondays better than Sundays, though, during the non-football season. Because during football season, Sundays are great. But, I mean, let's be honest with each other here. Sundays during the not-football season, sometimes you're like, what do I do today? Then you mow.
And you're worried about it being over.
Yeah, you're worried about it being over, yeah.
Yeah. Because Monday's coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the College Football Super League that's being tossed about.
I hope they call it that, too.
Is great. Is a great hypothetical. It's never going to happen. But at least in the foreseeable future. But I love now stuff's being, quote unquote, leaked.
Mm-hmm.
80 teams. I like the concept of it, too. I mean, 80 teams. Relegation.
Yeah.
You have to play your way in. You're not just given spots, blah, blah, blah. 16-game playoff, new conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the concept's great. Doesn't have any TV backing or SEC or Big Ten backing.
Not yet it doesn't.
So that's part of the biggest part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they have 70 permanent members, 10 rotating members. And you'd have some play. Kind of fun.
It's fun. Right. Fun. So basically the last place team gets booted out and the first place team or whatever it was gets moved in. What would they say? The top three of the under league division would be moved in and the bottom three of the super league division would be moved out. Something to that extent.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun. Make them earn it.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that.
No.
To a large extent. So the one of the leaks that happened was the divisions were leaked.
Yeah. Which is great. It's fantastic.
Which is great.
Except if you're Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri's in tough.
Because Missouri is in the Midwest, which makes sense. It's a good division for them, and they've got Cincinnati, and Illinois has come on. Indiana stinks. Louisville is okay. But then you've got Michigan and Ohio State that you got to fend with every single year in that division. Also, Northwestern, Purdue, and Michigan State are in there, which aren't real big players. I think Missouri would be the consistent third-best team in that division. But if you're the third best behind Michigan and Ohio State, Josh, do you ever really stand a chance, right? Do you ever really have an opportunity to climb over Ohio State and Michigan to try to do some damage and to try to win that Midwest division? I think that's going to be tough for Missouri.
Yeah, that's not a great draw for them.
Not at all.
Kansas and Kansas State are in the Plains division.
Right.
Which is just funny to me because it's west, southwest, midwest, northeast, southeast, south, and plains.
And plains.
Which leads to punchlines.
It really does because Kansas is pretty plain.
Here's the plain division.
Right. Iowa State, Kansas State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Nebraska. Did I mention Nebraska's in that division? Utah, Colorado, Iowa, BYU. A lot of plain areas of the country, right?
Yeah.
But I like that division for Kansas and Kansas State. I think both of those schools can run roughshod all over that division, right? Because BYU, we still don't know what to expect from them as a top-tier program. Colorado's great with Deion. Is that sustainable?
Well, he ain't going to be there by the time the Super League's around.
He
might not be around by the time his kids are done.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, exactly. good chance.
I think his kids graduate. He's out.
He's done. Yeah. Like, I wanted to coach my kids and that's it. I had some fun, which I don't begrudge at all. I think that's an awesome opportunity.
Cause we'll get into a little Colorado later. Cause their off seasons are so fascinating.
They're begging people to go to Colorado now.
Correct.
Iowa, they can't score. Iowa State is always supposed to be good.
By the time we get to the Super League though, they'll have this new offense in place.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Yeah. Kansas State.
Division.
Minnesota is always one of the more overrated programs out there. Everybody every year thinks they're going to be good 6-5. Nebraska hasn't been good since the 90s. Utah and then Wisconsin. And so I think Kansas State.
It's a solid conference.
It's a nice conference. Division, it's nice. But I think Kansas and Kansas State, with where they are right now and where those programs are headed, I think you would say both KU and K-State are clearly on the rise in college football right now. So they would have a really great opportunity every year, year in and year out, to win that division.
I mean, you're just not stuck in a division, say, with Oklahoma and Texas,
right?
We're in a division together.
They're
and
in the Southwest,
A&M. And A&M.
That Southwest division, though, is a bear, man. You got Oklahoma,
or Alabama's
State.
Division, even. You got Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Tennessee,
Georgia,
all in the same division.
Right. That's a tough one, right?
You're like,
there.
Yeah, I'll take the Plains, please.
Right.
400, Alex.
And then you got the Southeast: Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Miami. I mean, that's a little bit of a top heavy division. And then out west, you've got Cal and Oregon State, you know, Stanford.
Basically, the Pac-12 is back.
Yeah, it is.
In form of 10.
Right. Just Utah and BYU have been moved over to the Big 12,
which is
the Plains
that
division.
Oregon State and Washington State are back in. They're like, sweet.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
For the Super Conference. Like, we can be back in. This is kind of awesome.
But I think what we're seeing here
and
is
the
something.
The other league teams have no wow to them at all.
No. But there's some teams that were pretty good this past season.
But I like the ability to play some newbies in, because it's Boise State, James Madison, Liberty, Miami of Ohio, New Mexico State, Toledo, Troy, Tulane, UNLV, and UTSA.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Not exactly a who's who of college football, but
you know,
all those teams had a pretty good season this past year. So I think that's kind of how you're ranking them and putting them into that underleague division.
And that was just based on this past season. So yeah. Those presumably would be a rotating group.
Right. Some teams will move out.
So you'd have fresh faces.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, but that's what I like about this. It's fun right now. It's doing something different, because I think if you just keep things the same all the time, they get stale, right? I know we'll get into the NCAA tournament and some of the changes that people have suggested for that. That's one of those things I don't know that you necessarily need to change, but something in college football along these lines where it's just been chaos for the last decade and nobody knows where we are anyway. Why not just set up a super league and have these divisions and go with it? Because if the TV backing gets there and the money is good, then all these conferences and schools will be like, okay, fine, the money's there, let's go and do it. But I love the fact that we're talking about fresh ideas. That's why I like the play-in tournament, right? That's why I like this. That's why I like the college football playoff. I love all that kind of stuff, because it's taking what we love in sports that at sometimes does get stale, and it's changing it and giving teams opportunities, and they're putting some kind of new things in place to give everybody else an opportunity to maybe get into the postseason, or, you know, have better competition or organize things a little bit, because I think college football is a little disorganized right now with all the chaos and division switching and conference switching that's going on right now. I like the fact that sports are thinking outside the box and saying, hey, we got a really good thing here, but how can we make it better? How can we take what we have and create new interest and different interest and renewed interest from folks out there? And I think the NBA did it with their play-in tournament. I think the college football is going to do it with the expansion of the college football playoff and then the potential of the super leagues. Baseball's added teams to the postseason and changed their schedule up so you're not bored playing the same team 18 times a year. Everybody's thinking outside the box and a fresh new way of doing things. And so when somebody comes to the table to me, Josh, with something fresh and new, I'm going to welcome it with open arms and look at it and give it a shot. Maybe you don't like it, but I do appreciate the fact that the new ideas are coming to the table. And I think sports is ripe for that right now.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station. Also a part of the leaks was a little more of the formatting, but it's also interesting. They did factor in NIL.
Yeah.
And which is smart, right? How are you going to compensate the players? And basically it's be part of TV money. There's a pool, and actually you get more money the the older you are, which is kind of neat. So the freshmen who get the smallest piece of the pie,
5%,
and then up to 50% of the pie going to seniors. So there's a little bit of reward, I guess, for sticking around. They also have like transfer rules and there's a portal. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's essentially a portal you can go back into, and you can only turn over your team so much each year and blah, blah, blah. So it's pretty thorough what they have pitched. So it's interesting. A 14 game regular season followed by a 16 team playoff.
Would you hate a 14 game regular season in college football? Last year in college football, the season ended in like the end of November, like it always does, or beginning of December. And I felt myself wanting more. Like, I'm like, I want more. I really got into college football last year, and I'm excited for the start of it again, you know, this year. But I really got into it last year. I was like, they left me wanting more. And maybe that's a good thing, right? Maybe that is a good thing that you always leave them wanting more, like we do at 10 o'clock every morning, right? I think the only thing that I would change differently about this, and I'm sure everybody would have a change they would like to make, I would take some of that NIL money and also turn that into bonuses on top of NIL money for kids who stay at their own school, right? Because right now it's essentially 1 year contracts for everybody. And now the players have the upper hand. It used to be 1 year contracts and the schools could get rid of you. Now it seems like players get these 1 year contracts and they have no interest in being there for a second year. It's always like, look what's on to be the next. And so
like a max contract in the NBA where there's a little more incentive for you to stay than it would be for to go somewhere else.
Yeah, like each year you get bonus money added on. Like if you don't get anything as a freshman, but if you make it to a sophomore, there's a little bonus money there to stay at the same school, a little bit more if you stay at the same school your junior year, and a little bit more if you stay as a senior, you know, at your school, where you can get NIL money from other schools. You could enter the portal, but at the end of the day, the current school that you have has an opportunity to pay you more. And I think that will help the folks who don't want to see roster turnover every year. Because a lot of fans, I mean, I've complained about that. You've complained about that. It's not the same anymore. We don't know who any of these guys are. The rosters change over so much. And we're just talking about college basketball where you only have 12 guys or 15 guys on a roster, right? Football constantly changes over. So from a fan standpoint, to help the fans out a little bit more, feel more of an attachment to players, give these guys bonuses to stay at their school and not enter the portal. Because at the end of the day, the reason you're entering the portal is it's not for playing time. It's for cash. It's for dough. And so if you can stay at your school, everybody gets the same, but you get bonuses because you stayed, then I think that's a good thing for the fans.
And then this will really ruffle the old school.
Yeah.
The group envisions a prospective players union. That will collectively bargain.
Oh, boy.
On topics like NIL and transfer restrictions.
But you're going to have to have that.
And so, you know, we could have a strike.
Right.
So yeah, that'll be fun.
Just hope it's not like the baseball players union. Why where they complain about everything.
Add that in there.
We don't have the right brand of Advil.
No, I would think that they won't be as good at it as the pros. So,
yeah, maybe not. But who's going to run that union, right?
I don't know. So from fun change to really change.
Right.
Really change. They're going to try to mess with the basketball tournament.
Of course they are.
I feel like messing with the basketball tournament is akin to your phone updating all the time.
My God. When was the last time Apple sent a good update? I absolutely hate it right now.
And it's like, well, it was running fine, and then I switched and did this update, and now it doesn't run as well. Don't mess with it until you need to.
Right.
So the men's tournament... Well, we know the women's tournament's also considering like, oh, should we not play at home venues anymore? And maybe move to let's slow down and find out if you have sustained. You had a wonderful year.
Right.
Let's find out if it's sustained first before you just crumple it all up and like, oh, yeah, let's play to neutral sites again. And whatever. And like then you don't have crowds and you go, why don't we have crowds again? Oh, because we're playing a neutral site. The men's tournament is actually considering. And I do like this. Going to home arenas. I'd like that.
You would.
I think it'd be fun. I don't think they need to. And I think from a ticket perspective, it doesn't probably warrant it, but it would be fun.
I don't know about the tournament
on Saturday and Sunday instead of Thursday, Friday. Come on.
Did you read what they wrote, though?
Come on.
Let me just read what they wrote and see if this
Thursday,
makes sense.
Thursday, Friday is the best.
It's the best.
The best.
Right.
Don't mess with that.
But they say the first 2 days of the men's tournament are a national holiday for many sports fans. But who can take Thursday and Friday off? The NBA playoffs start on Saturday, Sunday, enabling every game to be nationally televised to the biggest possible audiences. Open the men's tournament on Saturday or Sunday. Up to 8 games per day could be scheduled unopposed. Then use Monday, Tuesday, late afternoon and evening for the second round. So if people can't take Thursday and Friday off, they can take Monday and Tuesday off?
I think we're programmed. If you want Thursday, Friday off, you find a way to get Thursday, Friday off.
You go get a vasectomy.
Yeah. So now they got to start scheduling vasectomies for Mondays and Tuesdays?
But wait, that doesn't make any sense. They're literally telling you that it's hard to take Thursday and Friday off of work, so we're going to start it on Saturday and Sunday and then play the second round on Monday and Tuesday. It is harder, in my opinion, to take off a Monday and Tuesday at work than it is a Thursday or Friday. Because by the time you get to Thursday or Friday, everybody's thinking about the weekend anyway. If you don't get your work done between like 2 o'clock on Monday and 4 o'clock on Wednesday, forget about it. Yeah. It ain't getting done, right? No. They literally laid like, what? You're telling me people can't get off Thursday and Friday, so you're going to make it better to start on Saturday or Sunday and then play Monday and Tuesday? Nobody wants that wraparound. Thursday's the beginning of the weekend. You go into the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You go to work on Monday, you work the week, and then you got the weekend again. Like, that logic right there is why we're at a spot where the NCAA has their finger up their butt going, corn. Mm. Like what are we doing here by even considering? Like, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever read. Make it make sense, Josh.
No, I don't.
Nobody can get Thursday and Friday off, so we want to start it on Saturday and Sunday and then continue it on Monday and Tuesday.
We just hope that the games are good enough Saturday, Sunday that people will decide to bail on work Monday and Tuesday to stay and watch.
Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to
count
do
on that.
Yeah, nobody wants
kind
to
of
do that.
The sports fans kind of programmed a Thursday, Friday right in this one. Do you like the playing in home arenas
or
no?
I don't. Unless you're going to expand it, which they are. If you're going to double up the tournament, maybe you play at the home arenas to give your fans a little bit of a breather. But I think it's gotten to the point now with the NCAA and the tournament. We're just used to always traveling. I kind of like that. I like going to these different venues. I like bringing these games to cities that don't normally have them, a little bit of a boost to the economy right now. I think if you want to keep the NCAA tournament, quote unquote, pure like it is right now, you have to keep those sterile environments, those neutral environments, as opposed to playing at home. Could you imagine having to go and play games at Allen Fieldhouse? KU would never lose in the first weekend of the tournament. They'd always make the Sweet 16. Duke always would make it to the Sweet 16.
Like, you think it's too much of an advantage?
Yeah, it's way too much of an advantage. I just don't like that idea at all. Keep it at the neutral sites. Keep it the way we like it. I think you'd have a very tough time Cinderella's winning games on people's home courts.
I think it's worked for the women's tournament to get built-in crowds.
Correct.
If they ever got to a point where it's like they could be self-sustainable and do these things and play, fine, go do it.
Right.
I think they're fun. Because it guarantees you an environment.
Right, it does. Absolutely does.
And again, you have to prove to me that it is sustainable.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be as big as it was this year.
No.
Next year.
No.
I think there's going to be a natural drop off. Hope not, but guessing it probably will.
Yeah.
So don't like speed things up to try to do that.
Right. And then they also talked about having the combined Final Fours. I'm not interested in that either. Let the women do their tournament. Let the men do their tournament. We don't need the combined Final Fours. I don't think there's a need for that right now, right? I think the women are selling out their venues. It's one of the hottest tickets in sports. The men are selling out their venues. It's one of the hottest tickets in sports. Keep it the way it is. Like, all of these changes
the proposal,
I looked at went, meh.
The proposal was a Super Saturday. All 4 semifinals, mm-hmm. and then Monday night with a championship doubleheader.
But then we're starting a doubleheader. At what time? I mean, we complained about the 8:20 start here, right? You're probably going to start that second game a lot later than 8:20, and then you're going to start the first game, most likely the women's game, at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon mm-hmm. on a Monday when everybody's running around at the beginning of the week trying to get their kids situated and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're not thinking of common sense with all this stuff. Let the women and men's tournaments exist. You know, the way that they do right now, each get a primetime night. Why are we trying to do this?
I think that would be the best way. Try to get 2 primetime audiences.
Yeah.
To tune in and watch the games. So anyway, I like ideas. I like bringing up new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to mess with this tournament.
This is one
much.
I'm just like, eh.
And I'm not in need of expansion either. But if you're going to continue to make up these other tournaments, that have these postseasons anyway, right, then let's just play another round of the NCAA.
Yeah, and I'm fine with the expansion, but I'm not
16
fine
more
with
teams that we're going to play in the NIT and have them play in the NCAA tournament. Fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not largely in favor of that one either.
I'm just really not in favor of moving the games from Thursday, Friday to Monday, yeah, Tuesday, because it's just dumb.
We talked to the owner of the Cardinals yesterday, who was discussing gambling in the state of Missouri, and the push is on from the pro teams in Missouri to try to get this thing passed. Are we getting any closer? We'll find out next.
Make it make sense, Josh.
No.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.